السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن أولياؤه إلا المتقون وقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون صدق الله العظيم. علماء الكرام, most respected brothers and also our sisters who may be listening over the receivers, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has been very kind to us. He blessed us with our sight, with our hearing, with our speech, with our hands, our feet, our heart, liver and lungs all functioning, and with so much of other ni'mats. And repeatedly I have mentioned this, that the shukr of every ni'mat is in accordance with that ni'mat. As great as is that bounty, that much shukr we must make, that much gratitude we must show to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The bounty of iman, we cannot really do justice. The bounty of iman and Islam are the greatest bounties, which we do not even consider as bounties. People are unconcerned where they are losing their iman, where they are losing their Islam, where they are losing their identity. We all talk about Islamic identity. We say that we must maintain our Islamic identity. But at the same time, we also talk about integration. We talk about socializing. We talk about intermingling. We talk about participating, taking an active part in the cultural practices that are prevalent in the countries that we live in. As a result, what happens is that sometimes we forget where the boundary lines are. In the month of Ramadan, I mentioned to those people that were in Etikaf that the first thing that you inquire about when you enter into Etikaf is the boundary line, which is the boundary of the masjid. Like that, we call this whole place the masjid. You say Masjid-e-Noor, so this whole complex comes into our mind as Masjid-e-Noor. But in reality, it is only this inside section which is the masjid. Outside that is the sahan, then we have the parking lot, we have the wuzu khana, we have different areas. But the masjid area is the section that is inside these four walls. So the first thing that they have to determine is what is the boundary wall. Because if they step out of that, then the i'tikaf is nullified. Even if they take one step out of that, it is nullified. So just like that, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala has placed these boundary walls with regards to every field of activity that we engage in. That there are certain limits, there are certain boundaries. After that, we cannot go across that. Now just yesterday on the plane from Dubai, I picked up this article. Now it says that in an unprecedented move, a senior official at Bahrain's Islamic Affairs Ministry took part in Tuesday night's Christmas Mass at Manama National Evangelical Church. According to Al-Wasat, the Assistant Undersecretary Sheikh Khalifa bin Hamad Al-Khalifa represented the government at the traditional Mass. He stated that we are all Bahraini citizens, regardless of our beliefs. Bahrain is a multicultural kingdom, a country of peace and moderation. And then it goes on. And he says that irrespective of who we are, but we are Bahraini citizens, so therefore we must take part in each other's cultural practices, cultural rites. And he took part in the mass. And his photograph also appeared in the paper. holding the Bible in his hand. Now this was something not unusual as far as we are concerned, because we have been hearing about another leader who is fighting for the rights of the Palestinian people, making a fool of himself and an idiot of himself, trying to get permission from the Israeli authorities to go and participate in the mess. Of course, it's over now and he was blocked. But a symbolical headcloth was put onto that chair as if Arafat was sitting on that chair in that mess. Then we had the very similar thing in Pakistan. In so many places, there was a complete turnabout where people were now actually participating in those Christian practices. Now we have got no problem with living in a country where there are people of different faiths, different cultures, different ideologies, different levels of thinking, and having different kinds of practices. There's no problem with that. We can live quite comfortably in that. In Muslim states, in the time of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an, and other times also, we find examples of this, that they were allowed to continue, even in the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala an, that they were allowed to continue with their practices, as long as they did not oppose the Muslims and they did not fight against the Muslims who were worshipping one Allah, they were allowed to continue with their practices. Nobody has got any problem with that. If they have got a traditional method of prayers and of other practices, then they must continue with that. We've got no problem. We will present to them Islam, and if they accept it, alhamdulillah. If they do not, Allah Ta'ala will deal with them. But to say that now we have to go the extra mile, and we have to go and also participate. We have to also take an active part in those rituals and those prayers and in those worshipping modes. Then definitely we have now crossed that boundary. But it is becoming quite common now, even in the Arab world, just to please those same Americans and to please those same Western masters whom they curse day and night. We all want to play according to the master's voice, to the tune of the master's voice. So here in South Africa, or whether outside in the world, we are facing the same problem. We all are waiting for the nusrat and help of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to come. So many mujahideen are giving their lives, they are shedding their blood, they are sacrificing everything that they possessed. I witnessed with my own eyes those little children whose fathers have gone to Cuba. Or they have become shaheed. So on the one hand, they are giving their lives, they are giving shahadat. And shahadat brings the nusrat of help and help of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala very, very speedily. But on the other hand, there are so many blocking factors. They are preventing this help of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala coming. Now when the leaders of the Muslim Ummah, the so-called leaders, will be going to these masses, and there they will go and participate, and then they will seek the help of Jesus Christ, the Lord, in their problems. Then where is Islam? How do we expect Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's nusrat and madad? So this point just came to mind when I read this article. But now let's come back to our local problems. Just a few days before my departure, we were talking about a program that is going to take place here, a show that is going to take place. Now these shows, again, in the Muslim countries, it has become very, very common. If you read the newspapers in the Arab world, then the very same shows are also taken there to Dubai and to Abu Dhabi and to Muscat and so many other places. What is the purpose of taking them to such lands where the majority are Muslims? It's only one reason, and that is that there's plenty of money that these Muslim countries have, or the Muslims have, and to take away that iman, that great gift of iman that is in their hearts, to corrupt them, to give them such enjoyment in evil and in entertainment of the haram kind, that they lose complete interest in the namaz, in the ibadat, in the zikr, in the tilawat, in the business deals according to sharia, in the marriages and walimas according to sharia. They lose all interest. And then they follow the cultural practices of those very people. Now, alhamdulillah, to some extent, after the bayans that were given at the Eidgah and in the masjid, and some radio stations also took up the challenge, I've been given the good news that many people tore up those tickets. But that doesn't solve a problem. That show will end and another one will come. Would we have to repeat the whole process again? This is just like watering the leaves of the trees. When the root is dry, there's no water at the root, and we go and take one leaf and we water, then we know how long it is going to take, and at the same time, it's not going to be of any real benefit too. It's going to dry up. The root is going to dry. So this definitely proves that there is something drastically wrong, something that has to be done, a change that has to be brought about within our hearts. Now, this is the area that is totally neglected. We will give charities, we will make tahajjud ishraq sometime, we will read tasbihat, we will take active part in dini activities, we will have our organizations, we will have our associations, and we will have our different kinds of clubs and different kinds of anjumans. We will have everything, and our printing presses, and we will have everything for the promotion and the propagation of Islam. But we will not take a look at our hearts. We will not x-ray these hearts. And we cannot find our sicknesses and diseases ourselves. We know that in the physical world, for physical problems and physical diseases and ailments, even if that person is a surgeon, even if he is a surgeon and he has got a stone in his kidney, then he has to go and submit himself. If the person is an eye specialist, but he has got a problem with his eyes, he has to go to another eye specialist. If the person is in any other field, is suffering from any other sickness, it is the same thing. That he has to go and have a checkup, he has to go and have an x-ray done, and somebody else is going to do that. So it's only the Ahlullah, those whom Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has blessed with those hearts which are reservoirs of ikhlas. They are reservoirs of piety, reservoirs of taqwa. They are the reservoirs of tawakkul and trust in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. They are the reservoirs of yaqeen in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gives them such kind of spiritually purified hearts because of the mujahada that they make against the nafs, that after that, those who come into their company, those who listen to them, those who sit by them, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala changes the condition of those people's hearts also, provided those people are sincere. Jis qalb ki aho ne dil phoonk diye laakho, jis qalb ki aho ne dil phoonk diye laakho, us qalb mein ya Allah kya aag lagi hogi. Those hearts which kindled and lit up and caused the flames of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's love, the fire of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's love, to light up in thousands of other hearts. Oh Allah, in those hearts, what kind of love they must be of yours. Oh Allah, in those hearts, what kind of fire of your love must be burning, when so many others have lit up their hearts with that fire which is in their hearts. So this x-ray, or this area which we term as the area of the heart, the spiritual heart, is the most neglected area. So if we try to find a solution by going to town, as we say, with programs and with bayans and with waaz and with every kind of nasihat to stop Muslims attending a certain show, it doesn't seem to stop there. The effort that has to be made is to bring about the change within the heart, that this person afterwards does not require nasihat all the time. This inside of his will restrain him. We must raise him to that level that he says himself, or he questions himself, is my Allah pleased with this action of mine or not? Any action and every action he questions himself. He becomes the policeman of his own heart. He doesn't require another policeman. Therefore, you will find in the history of Islam, or in the early days of Islam, or even during the Khilafat days, of the Khulafa'i Rashideen that very, very few people were really arrested for some crime or the other. There were hardly a police force. Why? Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam raised each and every one to that level that the person became his own police. He didn't require looking around that is my father watching, is my uncle watching, is my sister watching, is my grandfather watching, nothing. He knew that my Allah is watching. And that Allah, I must not challenge His might. This is something that we forget, that we are challenging the might of Allah Ta'ala. We are reading about the tornadoes, and we are reading about the earthquakes, and we are reading about the gale force winds, and we are reading about the crashes and the smashes and the bashes, and everything we are reading about, and the large scale deaths and the massacres, everything. And the bulldozing of the homes of the Muslims, and the crushing of the children, and the crushing of the women. We are reading everything. We are reading everything. But after reading all that, do we take a lesson? So this person doesn't require a police force. He himself, he doesn't challenge the might of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. After reading all that, he realizes that there is some power that is supreme. The superpowers cannot do anything. Look at the snow that is falling in America now. And everything is being grounded. Nothing is taking off. The trains, the planes, the cars, everything on that one day, I don't know which day it was, said everything at a standstill. So much of snow. Just one army of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, the snow and the superpower is powerless. So take that greatness of those powers out from our hearts, but bring the greatness of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala into our hearts, because it is not befitting a Muslim, a believer in Allah Ta'ala, that he should be challenging the might of Allah. That, oh Allah, I care a damn, na'uzu billah. What can you do to me if I go to all these haram places? Let those maulanas keep on making their buck-buck from the mimbers. Let them keep on screaming and shouting at the top of their voices. Oh Allah, I am very powerful, I am strong. I am a superpower myself. And I can challenge your might. I will go to those places and I will see what can be done to me. The first earthquake that will be causing havoc will be the earthquake within the heart. That's the first earthquake. I think I mentioned in that very Jummah before I left here about that woman that went to the cricket ground and just one cricket match there, and that cricketer stole her heart and she was going mad in his love and she cannot go to sleep, and even she's fantasizing about that same cricketer when she's sleeping with her husband and she doesn't know what is happening to her. Now this is that earthquake that has already struck her heart. In sins, this is what is going to happen. So let us not be all the time told that this is not right, this is not right. We are Muslims, we are believers in Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is Jannat for the Kuffar, the Mushrikeen, the Yahud and the Nasara. Let them enjoy their Jannat. We must restrain ourselves. Don't even read those articles. Don't even read those newspapers and magazines where these types of sins are glorified. Because shaitan, that is the weapon that he uses to target our hearts. That the moment we read those articles, straight away the desire starts creeping into the heart. I wish I too was there. If only I didn't have a topi and a kurta, and I was not known as a namazi, and I was known and not known as a musalli, and I was not known as a da'i, and I was not known as a haji, and I was not known as a hafiz and a qari, then I too would have been there. Shaitan creates these kinds of doubts. He whispers into the hearts. So we don't need that. We have to say, koi jo karta hai tu chupke ahle jahan se, koi dekhta hai tujhe aasma se. And then again, Hazrat Maulana Qiyumuddin Akhtar Sahib Damat Barakatuh's very beautiful poetry. It's very simple. But when you look at those girls and those film actresses that are dancing there and singing there, but look at the end result. Even if nothing strikes them now, a day will come when the hair will turn white, when the backs will be bent, when the teeth will fall out, when they will have to wear number 11 glass on their eyes. Kamar jukke misle kamani hui, koi nana hua koi nani hui. Kamar jukke misle kamani hui, koi nana hua koi nani hui. The back bent and became like a bow. The back bent and became like a bow. Koi nana hua koi nani hui. Somebody will become a nana, somebody will become a nani. اور غالب ان کے بالوں پہ سفیدی ہوئی کوئی دادا ہوا کوئی دادی ہوئی. The hair turned white. Somebody will become dada, somebody will become a dadi. Someone will. That will be the end result. And even at present, no matter how beautiful their bodies may be shining, and how beautiful their faces may be appearing, but they are carrying plenty of filth and najasat in their bodies. Just think of that and restrain yourself. And then see what sukoon Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala gives. When a person looks at these beautiful faces, which are haram for him to see, it is not the face that he is looking at. He is looking at the end intention. His intention is not just the face. If there were no restrictions and barriers, then he would have liked to commit zina with that woman. Ask anybody to speak the truth, take qasam and tell you that when he's looking at that beautiful face, what is the intention behind admiring that beauty? What is the intention? Ask any young person or old person. Because these days no question of young and old anymore. The intention behind that is nothing but, if there was an opportunity, I would have committed zina with this woman. Now the moment that intention is there, you are bringing all the filth of those areas of the body which are filled with filth into the heart. Now can Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's noor and tajalli, which brings sukoon and peace and tranquility in the heart, remain together with this type of filth in the heart? Would anybody like to sleep in a room where there is a dead body? If somebody says that you are a very respectable and an honored guest, but the only thing is I'm going to put you up in a room in which I've got some dead dogs, some dead cats, some dead rats, and a few dead bodies. Will anybody like to sleep in that room? So will Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala ever come into those hearts which are filled with these type of dead bodies? So all these bayans are for no other reason but so that each and everyone may enjoy this sukoon in the heart. There's such peace, there's such sukoon, there's such tranquility, there's such satisfaction that Allah ta'ala gives that no person knows. Therefore, as a Shah Waliullah Rahmatullah Alayh, I repeat that very beautiful saying of his, he was addressing the Mughal kings and he said, "Oh, you Mughal kings, when you are going to depart from this world, you will leave behind your thrones, you will leave behind your crowns, you will leave behind your beautiful palaces, you will not take along anything with you. But I, Waliullah," and he was a great Wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, his name was also Waliullah. So he says, "I, Waliullah, I have got some diamonds in my heart. And when I will go to my grave, I will take these diamonds with me. And what are these diamonds? They are the diamonds of the love of Allah. I will take them with me to my grave. And they are very precious. They are priceless. So why are you so proud of your wealth?" Yes, if Allah Ta'ala gives wealth and the person uses it correctly, there is nothing wrong. Good wealth in the hands of a good person is a wonderful thing. But if that wealth is going to be used in the cinemas and shows and theatres, then there is a danger signal. And again, one of those things, that letter that I read out before leaving here, in which that young person says he went to attend one marketing conference. So there, that manager of the casinos, he said that we have brought this casino to Durban and we are providing all the facilities. We are providing those facilities which are attractive to the Indian community and especially the Muslims, because it's an emerging market and they are our targets. They've got plenty of liquid cash and they are our target. So to draw them and lure them here, we have got different kinds of areas of entertainment. We won't tell them straight away, "You must come and gamble." First we'll invite them, "Come to our restaurant. We have a halal restaurant." Sometimes we'll say, "Come to this area or that area where there's good entertainment for your children." But when they will come there, after that they will get trapped onto those machines. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us hidayat. Time is running out. May Allah ta'ala give us hidayat. For it's for nobody else's benefit but for ourselves. We ourselves will find the benefit if we are going to become obedient to Allah ta'ala and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So even at this late stage, if somebody has still got a ticket, you rather lose that money, but please your Allah. And see what pleasure Allah Ta'ala then gives in the heart. Barbaad muhabbat ko na barbaad karenge, mere dile nashad ko wo shad karenge. When I am going to smash my heart and bring Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala's happiness, when I am going to smash my heart, then Allah Ta'ala will not smash it again. Then Allah Ta'ala will build it up. Allah will give me His pleasure in my heart. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq of amal. May Allah ta'ala remove the difficulties, problems, trials that the ummah is facing all over the world. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.